WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Tuesday, November 3rd, 2015, and you are now locked into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, do we have a stacked show for you all. Well, today's show, we will chat about the college football playoff as the first rankings will come out around 7 p.m. tonight. We are going to debate who our top four teams in the college football world are right now through, 9 weeks in the season. Also, Coach D talked about that very topic, sort of. Kind of dodged it, but he did address it concerning the playoff and the rankings and what that means to his squad. He also gave us a preview on what to expect from the MSU and Nebraska game that takes place this Saturday night. We'll bring you MSU football presser takeaways. Also, live in our studio, I'll be chatting with Megan Zimer, sports event manager for the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. You don't want to miss that. The GLSA is doing some great things around here in the community of Mitt, Michigan. Also, Top 5 Tuesday, as we list the top five NFL coaches that are on the hot seat. And LeBron James is the youngest to score 25,000 points. Pretty cool stuff. All of that, as well as take your calls up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's hit you with our quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, November 3rd. Well, good luck to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Their job starts today. That's right, at 7 p.m. when they release the first round of their all-important rankings. The Playoff Selection Committee itself says these rankings are official, but not definitive. Where will MSU be placed? We'll debate that in just a sec. The MSU women's basketball team is ranked number 24 in the preseason Associated Press women's basketball poll, which was released this morning. The Spartans, who went 16-15 last winter in a season plagued by injuries, are one of four teams that ended last season unranked in the top 25 of the preseason poll. Defending national champion Connecticut is the preseason numero uno, while South Carolina, Notre Dame, Tennessee, and Baylor round out your top five. The Detroit Pistons are off to their first 3-0 start since the 2008-09 year, the last time they made the playoffs. They hope to push it to 4-0 tonight when they host the Indiana Pacers at 7:30 p.m. The Pacers are still looking for their first win of the season. LeBron James, yeah, he became the youngest player in NBA history to score 25,000 points with an alley-oop dunk that he guided to the hoop with 8:07 remaining in the fourth quarter of a 107-100 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, the bucket gave James 22 points in the game and 25,001 points in his career. It was the second of two alley-oops James converted on consecutive possessions. How cool is that, right? James, who is 30 years, 307 days old, outdid another prep-to-pro sensation, Kobe Bryant, in reaching 25,000 points. Bryant hit the plateau at 31 years old, 151 days. The Detroit Red Wings, they are 5-5-1 on the year. They will host the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Henrik Zetterberg and Kyle Quincy each had a goal and an assist to help the Detroit Red Wings to a 3-1 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Joe on October 13th. Ryan Callahan scored for the Lightning during that match. The Tennessee Titans have fired Ken Whisenhunt less than 2 years into his tenure as the team's coach. The Titans announced the decision today, promoting Mike Mularkey to interim coach. Now, Titans interim CEO Steve Underwood and Mularkey will address, addressed
the firing a little after noon today, so not too long ago. The Titans are 1-6 this year and went 3-20 overall under Wisenhunt, who signed a 5-year contract with Tennessee prior to the 2014 season. The San Francisco 49ers aren't stopping with a trade of their star tight end as they seek a turnaround after a 2-6 start. Their shakeup will include swapping quarterback Colin Kaepernick for Blaine Gabbert. Source told that to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter last night. Now, Gabbert will take over as the Niners play at home against the Atlanta Falcons, who are 6-2, on Sunday in the final game before their bye week. Earlier Monday, Coach Jim Tomsula said the team was evaluating everything, including benching Cap. And last but not least, what a game it was last night. An ugly game, but a thrilling finish. The Carolina Panthers remain undefeated, but it didn't come easy. In the end, it took a 52-yard field goal by Graham Gano in overtime to erase drop passes, drop interceptions, an overall play that was as bad as the weather in a 29-26 dub over Indy in Monday Night Football action. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open if you have anything on your sports noggin, or if you just want to chat it up with me and Isaac on the air, you know that number to call. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at our official Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show.
Tonight, the first college football playoff rankings come out. How important is that to you in this program?
I'll be watching film. You know, I think that the end game is what's important. What happens 5 weeks, I guess 4.5 weeks or so from now. That's the bottom line. You know, I think there are a lot of big games that are going to impact those playoff or what those four teams or however things people are ranked, that's going to impact those as we move forward. So can't control what happens tonight. Pass is behind us. We need to move forward. And I'm sure I'll hear about it tomorrow or late tonight, but doesn't have that much of an impact on us.
Welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now listening to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Tuesday. Is it gorgeous or what here in mid-Michigan? I mean, 70 degrees in November? Wow, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Soak it up, folks. And it's supposed to be like that for at least the next 2 days. And then it's supposed to fall back to the 50s this weekend. Enjoy it. Go for a walk. Walk the dog at least. You know, just enjoy it because we won't see this, I'm sure, for a long time after this week. So glad that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon, though. And what you just heard was, of course, Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team as he addressed the media this morning at Spartan Stadium. Of course, the Spartans, they will take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers on the road this Saturday night, 7 p.m. kickoff on ESPN. But not only did Mark give us a preview of how the bye week went, whether or not this team has rested up and is healthy to make another run, as the year is now, what, just four games left for MSU? That's crazy. I can't believe 8 games have passed for the Spartans. But not only did he address what he expects to happen against Nebraska this Saturday and how his team has rested up this past bye week, he also talked about briefly his thoughts on tonight's college football playoff rankings. That's right, tonight at 7 p.m., the selection committee will officially release their first round of their all-important rankings. And will list the teams who they believe right now on this date, November 3rd, 2015, which teams they believe deserve to be in that number. Interesting stuff. So I asked Coach D the question whether or not this is important to the Spartan football team, whether or not they are going to be glued to their respective televisions, seeing where they fall in the college football playoff. And the answer was just like I expected. Coach D saying, I'll be watching film. I won't even be watching it at all. It's not important to us. What these rankings are based upon is what we have done in the first 8 games of the year. And it's hard to argue what they have done because they've just won, baby. Simple as that. 8-0 overall, 4-0 in the Big Ten. They're coming off a blowout win, even though much of that game was pretty close. But they're coming off a blowout win against Indiana, a 52-26 affair there. And Michigan State has just won, point blank, period. But again, these rankings, and Coach D has a valid point, these rankings are based on what you have done in 8 weeks, 8 weeks throughout the season. So what occurs this Saturday with these respective teams could totally go out the window because you've played another game, and if you don't look good that game, if you don't look good this weekend, well, how much importance really does Tuesday have? How much importance does tonight really, really have on ESPN? So it was a typical spill from head coach Mark D'Antonio, one that we all expected. But I can't help but wonder, and I can't help but fathom what's going through the heads of those players as well, because at the end of the day, when you are 8-0, when you are undefeated in conference, you do want your respect as well. And where MSU falls is going to be a clear statement of respect or lack thereof in the eyes of Spartan fans out there. And I can't help but imagine, you know, the players as well. They want to be in that number, folks. Who wouldn't want to be in that number? Because if you are one of those top four teams that the selection committee bids for tonight at 7 p.m., it goes to show that the committee has you on their mind. They have been watching you closely and are impressed with what you have done. It ideally sends the statement that all you got to do is finish the deal, which is easier said than done. But it sends the message that at the end of the day, if you just win out for the rest of the year, if you complete the mission, you're going to be one of those top four teams that we choose. So, yeah, I get it. It's based on what you've done these past, 8 or 9 weeks. But at the same time, it speaks volumes as to the thought process that the committee has perceptually when evaluating these respective teams. So I do think it's very important. Of course, Coach D'Antonio is going to downplay it because at the end of the day, you still got 4 weeks left in the season. You still got 4 weeks left to play. Many things can happen during that time. And let's be honest, many things will happen during that time. So I do believe that it's going to be on his mind, but he's not going to lose sleep over it. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, you can also weigh in here on the show by going to facebook.com/currentsports, liking us on our Facebook page, leave us a comment, I'll read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even shoot me a tweet if you're shy or you can't get to a phone. Just tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. And I'll read those tweets live here on the airwaves as well. So I want to start today's show by asking the question, with the playoff, the select committee, you know, announcing their first playoff rankings tonight on ESPN, who are those four teams? And where does MSU lie in those rankings? Where will they lie tonight when those rankings are revealed? Call in 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now to this conversation our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. He hails all the way from New Orleans. Isaac Constance, how you doing?
It's the 504. Yeah, doing well today, Al. The weather's a little bit reminiscent of down there, so can't be too frowny anywhere I go. But yeah, today I'm excited to see these rankings because, yes, like you said, still four more games for MSU, so much of the season to go. But you know what? This is important. This is how we judge the committee's criteria for deciding the teams that get into the playoffs. Because let's face it, if MSU makes the top four today, then that shows that the committee thinks, yeah, you know, maybe this team hasn't looked that impressive, but their strength of schedule is very important. And even with one loss to Ohio State, they might still stand a chance. Whereas if they're ranked number six, as I expect them to be, or number five, that might be a little bit of an indicator that, hey, MSU needs to win out. So these rankings are very important. Now, at the end of the day, there will not be four undefeated teams from major conferences when the season's all said and done. There will not be. So MSU is totally in control of their own destiny, no matter what. Because guess what? Baylor and TCU have yet to play each other. Baylor also has to play Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And TCU also has to play Oklahoma. So this is no easy finish for either of these teams. I think we'll see at least one tumble. I think we'll actually see both. LSU this weekend plays Alabama. Yep. That's where College Game Day is going. That's where all eyes are going to be this weekend. And, you know, I love my Tigers, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of a sting in the tail and kick LSU right out of that top four. And then Clemson, I think Clemson's just about in there permanently. They've done away with most of their tough opposition for the season. But I expect Michigan State to finish the night number four. Five, number six, something along those lines. And to be honest, I think that's fair.
Well, I got to be honest. I think when you bring up LSU playing Alabama this weekend, I really think LSU is going to win that game. I think Alabama has not been impressive this year for me. I always bring up that 43-37 loss to Ole Miss.
Of course.
That looked ugly. That
and
was,
Ole
that
Miss
was
has not gone on to do right. much since then. They lost to Memphis.
Right, exactly. And you know, looking at Alabama's their three big wins, they look less impressive to me with each passing week. Wisconsin, Georgia, Texas A&M, those three teams have really kind of just dropped out of this whole, you know, it's really serious contention, if you will. So I don't know. I'm not high on Alabama, and I do think LSU would get the job done. For me, my top four looks like this. I think that Ohio State is going to stay number one. And that's saying a lot, because I could very well, because I debated with this all morning on whether or not the committee is going to look favorable upon Ohio State based on there's you bring up a good point, because this is where I was going with this. That strength of schedule was huge to me. And that's the biggest knock on the Buckeyes. They haven't played a ranked team and won't do so until they play Michigan State on November 21st. That's big to me. And we've seen them kind of, you know, have some iffy wins here and there, some close ones where they're wiping their brow. Of course, this whole JT Barrett thing with this whole with Cardale Jones and what happened this weekend with JT, that's certainly going to be in the minds of some of the committee as well on whether or not. But I do think eventually, I mean, he's going to get a one-game suspension and he'll be back to play those big dogs in Michigan and Michigan State, point blank, period. So Ohio State, to me, I don't think they've done anything to lose that number one ranking. They're defending national champs. I think they'll be left at number one. For me, at number two and three, I'm going to go Baylor, who's 7-0. Right now, they're 4-0 in the Big 12. Again, they haven't lost in conference. I like Baylor a lot. I think they'll be number two. I think Clemson will be number three. They're also undefeated. And then number four, again, I really like LSU. I think Leonard Fournette, and I will say Trayvon Boykin, he's really nipping on the heels now of Fournette when it comes to this whole Heisman Trophy conversation. But LSU has looked really, really good in the SEC. And as of right now, I would put them in the college football playoff. As far as where MSU sits, I'm with you, Isaac. I think you will see them at maybe that five or six slot, much like where they are in both respective college football polls. Number six in the AP and number six now in the college football, I should say the coaches poll as well. So I think that's where MSU will sit. But if they do win out, if they do beat Ohio State, if they can close that, that's going to be the end-all be-all. If Coach D'Antonio and the Spartans want to solidify in stone a seat at the college football playoff table, they need to handle business against Ohio State. They've already done it against Michigan. Again, just look how the dynamic would have changed, though. If Michigan would have beaten Michigan State, if that crazy play does not happen, I think Michigan could very well be in this conversation right now.
Oh, they would be.
Without
a doubt. And deservedly so.
Yeah, without a doubt. You beat Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans, who have looked great and have been finished in the top five the past 2 years. I mean, that comes with a lot of swag. Michigan could very well be in that discussion. That's why that Michigan and Michigan State game was so, so big. But again, if Michigan State wants to etch in stone their name in that playoff, they got to handle business against Ohio State. But they can't overlook the road to Ohio State as well. They just have to finish business. Beat teams that they're supposed to beat, like Nebraska, and then beat one of the bottom barrel teams in the Big Ten in Maryland. They got to come correct. But health is so big for this squad. And we're going to play a bite concerning, the health of this team. He was asked about it. Coach D'Antonio was asked about it during his presser. But that's going to be the end-all be-all for me. So I do think the MSU will finish around that five or six spot. Right outside, they're right on the outside looking in right now, Isaac.
I think so too, and I think my comprehensive ratings are a little bit similar. Now, there's a difference between what I think it should be and what it is. I think Ohio State will remain atop the poll at that number one position. I'm not sure if they've really earned it per se, but it's hard to unseat a team that retains so many starters that's so good, even if they haven't been as impressive as this season as the last season. But recently, they've already been turning it up as well. Even though JT Barrett now suspended, I think number two goes to Clemson in those rankings. I think Clemson should be number one.
They could be.
Clemson is the only team that's played a difficult strength of schedule while having a very, very, very good team. They beat Notre Dame. They killed Miami 58-0 on national television in the middle of the day. Everybody was watching that game.
Even though I don't think Miami's not that great, but still, very impressive. Blowout win.
And then number three, I'm going to have also Baylor. Number four, I'm going to put LSU. Number five, I'll put TCU. And number six, I think Michigan State. Although I think TCU and Michigan State are neck and neck in that argument. But like you said, it all comes down to winning at Columbus for Michigan State. Because if they can do that, then that's that. That's it. Sayonara to Ohio State. Because at the end of the day, there's only going to be one undefeated team coming from the Big Ten. And you're right. They can't overlook teams on the way. But they have to have learned their lesson from now. You saw Michigan State finally close out a game last week. Mm-hmm. And Ohio State, that game, one of them will drop out of the top four after that happens. And like I said earlier, Baylor and TCU have yet to play each other. That means another team drops out. So any team in the top six right now is really in perfect position to secure their spot. They control their own destiny. What I have to ask you, Al, is do you think that an undefeated non-big conference team such as Memphis, so let's say they run the table, go all the way, and a couple of these top teams stumble, do you think they deserve a shot in the football playoff?
Memphis,
or a non-conference undefeated team?
No. I'm not exactly sure who Memphis has played this year when it comes to their schedule, but As well, of right now, no.
Memphis did beat Ole Miss, though. That was an impressive victory.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't even remember that. Okay, so they did beat Ole Miss. So
37
that'd be,
to 24.
That's their signature win right there. But I just can't see the committee overlooking teams like, you know, I can't see Memphis hopping over an LSU or Clemson or, Baylor, Ohio State. I just don't see that. But the big, another question for me, though, is where Iowa will fall in this whole thing as well, because they're undefeated in the Big Ten, and Iowa has looked really good this year, but Iowa, I don't think, is getting the respect that they deserve for what they've done so far this year. I think that Iowa, at the end of the day, may be a 7 or 8 when looking at these final rankings. Now, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Pitt, solid wins for them, but none are currently ranked. Not much marquee value in winning against those teams. And the Big Ten West is still viewed as, it's the West. You know what I mean?
And Cav should be as well.
Right, it should be as well. But I do think Iowa is a solid, solid team, though. They're undefeated, and I do think they should they will at least be considered tonight. And I think they are a top 10 team. So that's also something to look at as well. Before we hit our first break, Isaac Gita, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. I want to play a quick snippet from Coach D'Antonio's presser. I was at Spartan Stadium, and Coach D'Antonio addressed a few aspects of his team. Here's what he had to say.
Mark, you obviously winning at Nebraska has never been real easy, and this team has had their difficulties this year with injuries, losing some close games, now some pressure from people outside. Does that make going and winning in that environment even tougher when maybe it's a team that kind of feels like their back is against the wall a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they've had injuries. We've had some injuries as well. I think that's the nature of where everybody's at right now. You look across the scope of this conference, and things are happening on every football team, you know, that, that you know, has an impact. So, you know, Nebraska's not an easy place to go play, period. End of story. I think our players understand that, and we need to be ready mentally as well as physically. And we need to go there with an edge and take our best game there. That's what we have to do. No question, though.
Mark, down here. You just talked about how you understand what Nebraska's going through as a program. Mike Riley, they're going through some things, much like you did in 2012, 5 losses by 13 points. Do you think that, but you said now you know how to win. Do you think that this program needed to go through those close losses in order to learn how to win?
Tough to say that. You don't ever want to say that, but, you know, just we needed to find the inches. I think we knew how to win. We just didn't find the inches. And, you know, the next year we found the inches, and hopefully we're still trying to find those as we move forward. But I think that's something that senior leadership brings and players with experience brings and those type of things. And, you know, obviously when there's change, you start to redevelop your program. When there's change, there's always going to be a step back before you step forward. There's always going to be that. I don't think without question that's going to happen. So, you know, we went through our problems as we move forward, and it's always going to be challenging. College football, though, it's very difficult to win. I don't care who we play. It's extremely difficult to win. And you can point, and you can talk to anybody at any place, and they're going to say the same things. Any head coach is going to say the same thing. It's difficult to win, period.
Mark, regardless of who starts under center for Nebraska, Pfeiffer, Armstrong, they've got a great wide receiver in Jordan Westerkamp. Have you talked with the secondary or any special game planning kind of around him, whether one player will be assigned to him, or is it just kind of go through like you would with any other wideout?
No, they got a collection of wide receivers. I know Riley might be banged up a little bit. Westerkamp's been a guy that's been playing for quite a while. He's an excellent player. Gamer, Stanley Morgan, number 8's true freshman. They get the ball to him. They've got 4 or 5 guys that can make plays for him at the wide receiver position, and they play him. They seem to play him all. You certainly have to know where number 1's at. There's no question.
Mark, tonight the first college football playoff rankings come out. How important is that to you in this program?
I'll be watching film. You know, I think that the end game's what's important. What happens 5 weeks, I guess 4.5 weeks or so from now. That's the bottom line. You know, I think there are a lot of big games that are going to impact those playoff or what those four teams or however things people are ranked. That's going to impact those as we move forward. So can't control what happens tonight. Past is behind us. We need to move forward. And, you know, I'm sure I'll hear about it tomorrow or late tonight, but doesn't have that much of an impact on us.
Was the bye week as recuperating health-wise as you hoped that it would be?
Yeah, I think so. I think we got healthy. A lot of bumps and bruises sort of healed up or fatigue on some players. Certainly the guys who were hurt, you know, responded as well, so it's positive. So I think where we needed to be. I think that's what we needed to do.
I guess if you ask about health, it doesn't qualify as an injury question, does it? Like, is Jack Allen and Madre London, are they healthy?
I mean, I don't think they have a cold or anything like that, so. Okay,
so you can't say whether they'll.
I can't say.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, typical Coach D'Antonio. You know that he's not going to address injuries. Come on, Uncle Freddie. Yeah, so as far as the health of this team, we'll just have to wait and see. When we see who lines up on Saturday before kickoff, folks, I can imagine that, you know, the bye week certainly helped this squad. Certainly, without a doubt, anytime you have a week of rest and looking at how battered this team was, just to not even hold practice certainly helped this squad. But just how much, we don't know. To what extent, we have no idea. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call in if you want to be a part of today's show. This is our first break. When we come back, we hope to have Megan Zimer in studio with us, sports event manager for the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. We'll also have Top 5 Tuesday for you. We'll talk about the top NFL coaches who are on the hot seat so far this year. And also LeBron James, the youngest baller to reach 25,000 points. All of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. What an odd Monday night football game last night, folks. I caught it and stayed up for it. Didn't get to bed until around 1 a.m. And I'm just sitting there watching it and I can't believe. It still blows my mind that the Carolina Panthers are undefeated at 7-0. How? I have no idea. I could not tell you, folks. And they've done it ugly. They admitted that after the game yesterday. And it was funny as Lisa Salters talked with the team. They said, hey, it's been an ugly year so far. It has not been pretty. They've had to pull out a few miracles along the road. But it's really hard to argue with 7-0. Undefeated is undefeated. I don't care what league you're playing in, what level of competition you are competing against. 7-0 is 7-0. But it's really remarkable because there's another layer to this discussion, because when you break down the quarterback position and evaluate the play of Cam Newton, I don't know if you knew this, Isaac, but when looking at Cam Newton, he has a lower QBR than Colin Kaepernick, who is now about to be benched this weekend for the San Francisco 49ers. And then I also did some research and saw that out of every single team in the NFL today, he has the lowest completion percentage out of any starter in the NFL at 54.3%. How in the world Cam Newton is winning football games, I have no idea.
Yeah, and his receiving class basically consists of Devin Funchess, who does nothing. I picked up him in fantasy thinking that he'd be great. And then you also have Ted Ginn Jr., the guy who barely played on San Francisco when Michael Crabtree was their best receiver. His receiving class is terrible. The running game doesn't always give him that much help. And hey, they're undefeated. He figured something out, I guess, but
I don't know, man.
I was just telling Austin, our intern behind the glass, I was telling him, if you have told me before the season that you'd have three undefeated teams at this point alone,
right,
I'd be like, no
crazy.
Way. That's
you're
impossible.
Crazy.
That two of those are Cincinnati and Carolina, you've got to be kidding me.
I have no idea how. And the Broncos are that third team, I believe, right? Peyton Manning.
I think it might be, yes.
It's the Broncos. And Peyton has not looked great this year either. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, I don't know. Riddle me that. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Before we get to our outstanding guest for today's show, let's go to our phone lines. I believe he's still there, right, Isaac? We have our good, dear friend Ray from all the way out in Indiana. How you doing, Ray?
They're doing it by defense, my friend.
Carolina
and Cincinnati have played good defense.
Well, and not to mention the Denver Broncos, who I believe they have the best defense in the entire league. But Peyton Manning.
Well, New England's undefeated, too. You know, Brady does throw one interception. That was a drop that bounced around.
Right. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I mean, he
could have no interceptions. I don't care for the guy. I think he's a cheater, but I he's a great quarterback.
Tom Brady is the best quarterback in the NFL today, and it's hard to argue that one, Ray.
Yeah.
He only has one interception.
I can't argue that. Hey, beautiful weather we're getting, huh?
Oh, 70 degrees, and it's November? Are you kidding
me? Yeah, they're saying two or three more days. We better enjoy it. I just got back from jogging, but I wanted to talk about the Bullies.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sound off on U of M, Ray.
They had a miracle loss, and then they got a miracle win. Minnesota outgained about 165 yards. I'd fire that coach after the game. You know, that
Jim
knows,
Harbaugh?
No, the Minnesota coach.
Oh, the
Tracy Clay.
They called a touchdown, okay? They put the ball down on the foot line. You're sitting there, you got to wait 5 or 10 minutes for the instant replay. You know that you got to get up there. And they snapped 17 seconds off and almost let the clock run out. Then they called their timeout to let Michigan get set on the quarterback sneak. That was the stupidest football I ever seen myself in 19 seconds. They could have got three plays off if they had just snuck it, then called a timeout. Then they could have went to a throw if they had to. You know, didn't they watch the Seattle game, how Seattle blew that Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Did the same thing. Minnesota did the same thing.
Yeah, especially on that second down, that kind of errant throw to no one in the end zone. But no, I agree. And
they let 17 seconds run off the clock before he snapped it.
And I really thought, when looking at the play that they initially called a touchdown, the touchdown throw, I thought it was a touchdown. I'm sitting there saying, "Oh my goodness!"
I did too, but they were right.
Yeah, and then, but you got to give a lot of credit to that Michigan defense, which I think is an incredible defense.
They did a
great job with that on that goal line stand, Ray.
Right, on the sneak. But if they did it the way they should have, all they had to do was sneak it like Seattle should have did in the Super Bowl. Then call your timeout.
Right.
And then you go throw the ball if you have to.
Ray, I've always said you need a headset, my friend. You need to be on the sidelines, dude. Okay.
Well, I watched 60 years of football, so I you know. I mean, I'm 66, okay?
Right. I hear you, man.
I mean, you've seen it all just about, but there'll be always something new every week, like that Miami game. Eight laterals. The guy's down two or three times, and they don't call that. Then they don't call three holding penalties. I mean, you talk about living a great world. Miami sure must have paid those officials off.
And that is why that entire officiating crew is now suspended, Ray. Yeah. Ray, always a great call, my friend.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. She has just now joined me in studio. Folks, the Greater Lansing Sports Authority, the GLSA, is your resource for sports tournament planning in Michigan's Capital Region and a true partner in having your best event ever. Now, they understand that a lot goes into choosing a host city for any event. No one thing is more important than any other. And just like in sports, balance is everything. Located right in the middle of Michigan, Greater Lansing has that balance, and the services staff of the GLSA will be on hand to help from start to finish. And right now, we have a representative, sports event manager for the GLSA, in our studio right now, Megan Ziemer. Megan, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. First off, for those that are not privy with what you guys do at the GLSA, can you kind of describe what you guys do here when it comes to sports event planning?
Absolutely. The Greater Lansing Sports Authority is a full-service sports commission, so we promote Greater Lansing as a sports destination, and we try to promote economic impact through sporting events. So we market Greater Lansing as a sports destination, whether that's through soliciting sporting events, creating our own sporting events, or supporting the sporting events that we have here locally.
Megan, how did the GLSA begin? How did this start?
The GLSA is a division of the Convention and Visitors Bureau in town. So a few years back, I believe it was in 2005, 2006, they hired a couple individuals to come on board and kind of investigate, do some research as to whether Greater Lansing was a good market for sporting events and to have a sports commission. And after a lot of research, they found that obviously sporting events it's still in its infancy. It's, you know, a growing market. So they developed the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. So it started off with two individuals on staff, and we've now grown to a staff of four full-time individuals.
Pretty cool stuff. Now, Megan, when discussing your involvement with the GLSA and what you do, how did you get involved and why?
I came on board back in 2009. I started as a sports intern with the GLSA, and then a full-time position opened up, and I took it as an opportunity to apply and come on board, and I have been there since fall of 2009, full-time as the sports events manager.
I got to ask, what's the coolest event you've ever been directly involved in? Name a few, actually.
You know, I'm a figure skater, so I tend to lean towards our figure skating events. We're a very, very strong ice community here. We've hosted the U.S. Figure Skating Junior Championships. We've hosted Midwestern Sectional Championships. We actually just finished hosting the National Solo Dance. And then in 2016, we're headed into Eastern Great Lakes Regionals. So that's pretty exciting.
Now, where were those events held at?
Suburban Ice East Lansing is
gotcha.
where we hosted them, and we had some overflow over at the Summit in Diamonddale. And then some of the other events that I like are the USA Hockey events. We've got some great events coming up in December, actually. We're hosting the team trials for archery. So it's the qualifying competition for the World Indoor Archery Championships, which is going to be in Turkey. So that's kind of exciting.
Wow, that is very cool stuff. Now Megan, first off, I don't want to gloss over the fact that you just gave us that you were a figure skater.
Yes.
How did that happen? How long have you been figure skating?
I wouldn't call myself a great figure skater by any means.
But still, that's very cool.
As a small kid, my parents signed me up, and one lesson with group lessons led to another, which turned into individual lessons. And then I've actually been a coach, and that's kind of what brought me to the Sports Authority, actually.
How, as far as the popularity aspect of figure skating, how popular is it right here in Lansing?
We have a very strong – the Lansing Skating Club is a very strong club. We've got some great skaters come out of there. Hannah Miller, obviously, I'm sure that's a name that everybody knows. She represents the Lansing Skating Club. But it's really a growing sport. So,
wow.
You know, with Michigan's a strong ice community as far as hockey and figure skating goes. So
very cool stuff. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with sports event manager for the Greater Lansing Sports Authority, Megan Ziemer. Now, Megan, what's the most difficult part of planning an event? What's the tall order for you on what you do on a daily basis?
I think that really depends on the event, because each and every event is different. With what we do, we're involved on a variety of different levels, whether it's just supporting the small services, offering gift bags, connecting them with the client with the hotel. There's a wide variety of services that we offer. Mm-hmm. Some of the bigger events that we work on, the skating events, the hockey events, we're really involved from start to finish. So that's starting with the national governing body, USA Hockey, US Figure Skating, to bring their event here to really sell Lansing. And then once we've made that sell, then we're working, connecting with the facilities and the hotels and lining up officials and lining up volunteers and, you know, working with our community partners to get food donations to feed all of our officials and,
wow,
you know, building a schedule. And so there's a lot that goes into it. But like I said, each event is different.
So all of the logistical things that comes with planning an event, and just four of you guys are doing all of this.
Yeah, well, yes. The way that we're structured with some of these is we go out to the local clubs. When we host these bigger events like the skating events or the hockey events, we actually reach out to our local clubs. So those figure skating events, we work with the Lansing Skating Club as a team, the Lansing Skating Club, ourselves, and then the facility to really pull our resources together to put on the event. So it's not just us. Mm-hmm. We are working with, you know, the clubs to pull their resources as well. But yeah, we all work together, and it's not normally it's just volunteers and just a couple of us behind the scenes pulling those events together. So it's pretty cool.
Well, it sounds like a lot from someone like me who knows nothing about it. Now, Megan, you guys have been doing one fantastic job at the GLSA. Again, when this first started, how did you guys see a need for this in the sports community? Where did the idea spark and say, you know what, we could possibly, you know, really make this thing a big thing?
I think that when you look at, you know, at the time, you know, the market was just slowly starting to creep down at the time. And what are people going to spend their dollars on? What are parents, when things are tough, the one thing that's not going to change is parents want their kids playing sports. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going to put their dollars. So, you know, we looked at what we have here in the community as far as the facility goes and what our assets are here. And we really took that as a chance to grow it. You know, we have some great baseball, softball facilities, ice rinks, gyms, basketball courts. I mean, there's a lot that we have here to offer. So it was one of those things where how can we bring people into Greater Lansing? How can we get people staying in our hotels, spending dollars at our grocery stores, you know, going out to eat at our restaurants? And really it was, you know, sporting events. You know, when you go to a sporting event, normally it's just not mom and dad. You know, normally it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. I mean, everybody comes out. So normally, you know, you got one person, you're normally going to have three to five people that join them, you know, for that event.
Now, what events do you guys have coming up? What's on the schedule?
The biggest event that we're working on right now is the U.S. team trials for the World Archery Championships that I talked about. That's coming up December 18th through the 20th. That's going to be out at the Ingham County Fairgrounds. We're working with the MSU Archery Club to pull that one together. That one's a great event. Like I said, this is a qualifying event for the World Championships, which will be held in Turkey. So it's a high-profile event.
Whoa.
For the Greater Lansing community.
That's big.
It is big.
So December 18th to the 20th, that's when that event will be held.
Yes, out at the Ingham County Fairgrounds. So, you know, spectators are welcome to come out and take a peek at that. And it's, you know, it's a unique event. Archery is not an event that you hear a ton about, but it's pretty cool. Other than that, we've got a, you know, pretty much any event that you can think of, we've got a couple coming up. We've got some basketball events, some hockey. We got the big figure skating event, Eastern Great Lakes Regionals coming up next year. We were awarded a collegiate archery event for next May. Mm-hmm. We got some tennis, so...
And that leads me to kind of to my next question. I mean, hearing about all these different sports and sports that you don't normally hear about, you know, like archery and figure skating. What's the most common sport that you guys work with? Is it hoops? Is it football?
I don't know if there's the most common. I mean, we kind of do a little bit of everything. You're really seeing, you know, like I said, we're a strong ice community. So hockey and figure skating, those are two big ones that we tend to lean towards a lot because that's what we have here in the community. We have a lot of those resources to lean towards. But we do a lot of basketball. We do a lot of baseball, softball. You're seeing a lot of lacrosse now. That's a sport that's really up and coming. It's kind of the new basketball, if you will. And archery, those are some of the big ones that we've got coming up.
Again, folks, if you're just now joining us, we are chatting with Megan Ziemer, sports event manager for the GLSA, the Greater Lansing Sports Authority. Megan, before we get you out of here, if there's someone listening out there that are, you know, the head of a youth sports organization that needs that help in event planning, you know, planning a tournament or some sort, how can they get involved in touch with you and the GLSA?
Feel free to hop on our website. It's www.lansingsports.org. All that information is right there. You can reach out to anyone on our team. Whether your event's big or small, we're here to help. One of the things I would like to mention is that everything that we do is free of charge to all of our clients. We don't charge for our services. We're a nonprofit organization. We're just here to bring people into Greater Lansing and help them build their events.
Fantastic stuff. Megan, thanks so much for joining us on the show. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's edition of Current Sports by bringing you Top 5 Tuesday and talking about the top 5 NFL coaches who are currently on the hot seat. You don't want to miss that one. Also, LeBron James, the youngest basketball player in NBA history to score 25K. That's right, 25,000 points. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are locked into Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow at 3 That's right, not 6 p.m. I will be at the Breslin Center. Looking forward to that. The Breslin Center for the opening game, exhibition game, for the Michigan State basketball team as they host Northern Michigan. I'll be rocking the mic as your PA announcer at the Breslin Center. Should be a fun time. So due to that, we moved up our taping time to 3 p.m. And I'll be chatting with Lee Vickers, youth football coach who actually used to work with Jim Ahern, head coach of the Lansing Catholic High School football team. Lee is a great guy with a ton of personality. He's going to break down the high school football playoff sporting world for us and give his thoughts and predictions. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org, sign up online for free, and then just show up right here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building on the campus of MSU. Again, folks, we are taking your phone calls. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Just about 9 minutes left in the show. Let's go to line one. We've got Apachu. How you doing, Apachu? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I'm all excited about tonight.
Yeah?
I want to see if Michigan's in the top four.
Right. So you're clinging on to some hope, Apachu?
Hey, yeah, we were one play from it, man. Maybe.
If you beat Michigan State, oh, it's no question. You're in that thing.
Oh.
You're in that thing, man.
I tell you what, Michigan fans and Wisconsin Hardball, they would never return to Earth, and I don't think it would have been good for any of us. You can't just come into the Big Ten and win that easy, man. You got to suffer. You know, there got to be some blood, sweat, and tears that go to your head.
You got to earn it.
Yeah, you got to earn it. Well, it's not that you wouldn't have earned it, but
right,
you know,
right.
It's good to get slapped around. I can tell you from personal experience, man. Anyway, I want to respond to what Ray said. I think what Minnesota did was absolutely incredible. They scored 26 points against the best defense in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, three shutouts. Their quarterback, I've seen him play over the years, and he can be very, very good or very, very bad. He was very, very good that night, you know. And I think Minnesota's going to be a trap game for Ohio State. The other thing on the and Nebraska for Michigan State. But anyway, the idea that there was bad clock management, yeah, man, he's a defensive coach. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't learn that stuff overnight. You don't have 2 or 3 days to learn that kind of clock management. At the same time, and on the side of Michigan, you had to go 12 inches. You had two plays, and you couldn't do it. Okay? So that's on the side of Michigan. I mean, that says something about that defense. When it came, you know, they threw a pass, what do they call it?
A throwback pass,
and it was knocked down by a defender.
Right.
Everybody was covered. It didn't work. They had a blitz going. Everything worked out nice, and then they did a quarterback sneak. And if you notice, the defensive end ran over and was pulling on a quarterback as he was trying to go forward and pulling another player who was trying to push him forward. So, man, that was a hell of a game. I tell you what, I saw that play live, and I knew he hadn't crossed the line, but I told my wife they're going to give it to him, you know. And, my heart was broken. And then they did the right thing, you know. It wasn't a touchdown. So I mean, that was a great game on the part of Minnesota. If anything, I hired the dude. You know, he said, I got a different personality. I'm very emotional. And so forth and so forth. I think he would be a good coach, man.
Without a doubt. Yeah, and it was, like you said, a valiant effort from Minnesota, a team who's 4-4 now, 1-3 in conference. They, you know, they were riding on a lot of emotion because of course, Jerry Kill had announced he was leaving, and they wanted to win for Jerry. I saw the flag that was being waved across the field, and it was an emotional night for Minnesota.
I was scared of that game. I was afraid of that game. I really thought that Michigan was going to lose that game because I just thought there was too much emotion. They loved that dude, and I respected him. And, you know, he had those attacks. I think he should have actually shut down a couple years ago, but he tried. You know, he got his own reasons why he didn't. But he's got the most intact coaching staff in the history of football, probably. And that's a lot to be said. Somebody to have that loyalty, you know, because their homes and their jobs all tied up in their head coach. And they love each other, man. So
There
might be some good things ahead. The only thing I don't like about the Ohio State games, they're playing at Ohio State, and that emotion might have worn off, and they might be a little intimidated by that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But they could do some good things. They got to have some confidence now. They played a very good team. They played very, very well. So, no, I wouldn't fire him. I wouldn't fire him at all, man. You know, one mistake, you know, 12 inches from making history.
Exactly.
No, they were saying it could be one of the biggest games in their history. So, no, I like what they're doing. I think in the end they're going to hire him. I really do.
They possibly. So, anyway. I like him too. He gave a great effort. I mean, against a very good Michigan Wolverines team. Before we get you out of here, Apache, I got to ask, who's your top four? Who's in the playoff right now?
I'm gonna be a copycat because I don't watch all the games. I don't like Baylor. I don't like Baylor the top four because I don't like a team that doesn't play defense. Mm-hmm. I don't like games where you run up and down the field. You know, I like to see running backs run, and I like to see good tackling. I like to see interceptions, and I like to see the bombs once in a while. But I like good traditional football. So I don't like Baylor. I don't like TCU. But I would. It seems like Clemson's got it going. Ohio State. I think Michigan State should be in there, but they're not going to put them in there.
No, they won't.
They're not going to put them in there. I don't think they want two Big Ten teams in there or two SEC teams in there because they know there's going to be some changes in the next week or two. So Clemson, Ohio State, I would like to see Utah up there, but they lost that game.
right.
Yeah. So everybody's picking Baylor, and who's the other one everybody's picking?
LSU.
LSU. LSU's in mind, yeah.
Okay,
at least.
Okay, LSU. LSU, man. LSU, they might be, Isaac might be right. LSU might be the best team because they play both ways, you know. So it's gonna be interesting. But, man, it's just setting the table for the next few weeks, and it's going to get crazy.
Right.
It's going to get crazy.
And like I say, this is all – I think that the committee in college football is sort of just feeding the appetite – for college football fans out there that are wondering who those top four are. They're just kind of feeding the appetite and feeding the fandom to get college football fans even more hyped up about the season when doing this. Because we all know, after 7 o'clock tonight and when it's all said and done, the dust settles this weekend on Saturday night, I mean, those rankings could change tremendously. So it's just about feeding the fandom at this point when it comes to these early rankings, in my opinion, Apache.
Oh, my God, it's no doubt. It's no doubt. It's the most intense year we've had in football because everybody has a chance. And I think in the next year or two, they're gonna do the top eight teams, and they're going to take winners from each conference, no matter what their records are, because that makes the conference games much, much more important.
I agree.
And I hope to see that, man. I hope they stop at 8, too, you know, so let some of them little guys in there, too.
I agree.
Those little guys who are undefeated, man, make you feel very uncomfortable because they're going to move them up the standings. And they're going to pass people that would probably blow them off the field. But, you know, that's the way it is. Hey, man, good program.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good
always a great
tonight.
Great
good
call.
Good luck tonight, man. Make it look good. Get in top four.
Oh, you know. I know. We'll see what happens, man. I'll be glued to my TV. I won't be watching film like Coach D. Thanks a lot about you. Appreciate that call. All right, only 2 minutes left. Let's hit you with a quick top five Tuesday. Who exactly are the top five coaches in the NFL right now who are on the hot seat? Here we go. Okay, of course, we saw Ken Whisenhunt of the Tennessee Titans. He was fired today due to just not getting the job done out in Tennessee land. So it begs the question, who exactly are the top coaches who are on the hot seat? Really briefly here, only a minute left, and I'll elaborate more on this tomorrow. But for me, numero uno has got to be Chuck Pagano. Two, I'm going to put him on it now, Jim Caldwell of the Detroit Lions. Three, Jim Tom Sula of the San Francisco 49ers. And number four, I'm going with Chip Kelly of the Philadelphia Eagles. Isaac?
Yeah, number five, I got Gus Bradley for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number four, I've got Jay Gruden from the Washington Redskins. And my top three are exactly the same as yours. The one coach who has got a rougher season than Jim Caldwell, Chuck Pagano.
And I stopped at four. I don't know why. I'm still stuck in this college football playoff mindset. Number five for me is, Gruden from the Washington Redskins. So, all right, we'll elaborate more on that tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care, enjoy the weather, and be easy, people.